Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We are excited to be with you for the next 3 hours. Beautiful day here in East Tennessee. How about the start of the week?
Man, I mean, the back-to-back, just great days, wonderful temperatures. I know that you're getting more towards uncomfortableness.
Have you seen, what is it, Thursday?
Is that the day that it's like a high of 45?
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming like a freight train, Josh.
Well, not you a high. That's the low.
That's the low, okay.
Yeah. Still Antarctica weather, if you ask me. So that's where we are. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the first day of fall is tomorrow, so dress accordingly.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to get out some sweaters and some jackets and things like that. It's a changing of the season.
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you need a new one, we'll give them another shout out. Nothing too fancy. Bought my sweatshirt
on
Friday.
Last week. Yeah.
It is the softest thing. I've already worn it 3 times. Every time I go home, I just like put it on. It's so soft and I absolutely love it. It says Tennessee across the chest. So there you go.
Yep. We had a great time last Friday at Nothing Too Fancy downtown, and we have a big show ahead over the next 3 hours. We're going to talk a little football.
Yes. I love the correction that was week 2 in the NFL. Hey, let's clean some things up. Maybe, quote, make some adjustments. And yeah. Teams have done that. Most notably, Aaron Rodgers last night in the Green Bay Packers. Kudos to them for winning.
No offense to Lions fans, but they know the story. If you're trying to get right, not a bad time to play the Lions.
The Lions, I want to amend my answer. I think I said the Texans for most dysfunctional franchise when we had that question a couple of weeks ago. It's the Lions. And the fact that they're completely irrelevant and that we forget about how dysfunctional they are just shows that dysfunction is sewn into the fabric of the organization.
Oh, see, I still think the Texans deserve that.
Okay.
And I respect him for saying, yeah, I screwed up, but the head coach didn't understand when to accept or decline a penalty the other day. And they're trying to figure out who can be a second quarterback because they have 2 active quarterbacks who can't play, 1 because of injury, 2 because of choice. So,
I'm not making a case for them being super functional, but I think that's a little prisoner of the moment there, Josh Ward, on your part.
See, I think the Lions just stink.
But because they've done it for so long.
Oh, they're consistent.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We have Joe Rexroad at 12:30 from The Athletic. He's going to join us to tell us what to think about Tennessee going down to the Swamp this weekend. We will talk to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports at 2:30. We'll get your phone calls. What do you think about the quarterback position, everything else with the Vols getting ready for SEC play on Saturday, 656-9900, if you would like to join us as we begin today's show, taking a look around the sports world. It was a bounce-back win for the Packers. Big second half. As the first half, the Lions were very competitive, were able to hold on to a lead there, but then Rodgers and the Packers took over. Aaron Jones, a big game. Could have been bigger. I'm not saying that Joe Milton is Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers did offer a reminder that, you know, even the best, because in terms of a thrower of the ball, it does not get better than Aaron Rodgers.
True.
He kept overselling Valdez-Scantling, who was wide open down the field. He missed him. He just missed him a few times. It could have been worse for the Lions against the Packers, but they don't care about that. They got a nice win, nice comfortable win, 1-1 for the Packers after the win last night on Monday Night Football.
Aaron Jones has tied the Lambeau Field record with 4 touchdowns scored. He's done that 5 other times. The record for touchdowns scored in a Monday Night Football game is also 4, last done by Marshall Faulk in 2000. So I loved also the Aaron Jones was wearing a necklace with his father's ashes inside of a football emblem.
Mm-hmm.
And lost the necklace. Doesn't know. They have like scoured the field. They've looked at, they finally found
they
it.
They did find it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was really worried about that. I was like, oh, I went to bed last night thinking, oh my gosh, are they going to be able to find this necklace? So they have breathed a sigh of relief. Yep. All is good.
Yep. Nothing to worry about there. So I don't know if there's anything to worry about moving forward for the Packers. They have a big game against the 49ers coming up this week. That should be really good.
Yes.
We'll talk about that as the afternoon goes along. As we continue looking around the sports world, good for Duke basketball. Looks like they've been able to fix some things on the recruiting trail. I joke, but Derek Lively, big-time recruit, committing to the Duke Blue Devils. So if you look at the top of the recruiting rankings, you'll see some familiar names. You'll see Duke. You'll see North Carolina. You'll see Kentucky.
I like last year's rankings. The 2021 classes when Tennessee is in there. You got Memphis in there. This was straight blue bloods. Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina. I'm going to need to mix it up here. Is this a product of name, image, and likeness? Is this like... is this the world we're living in where, okay, now the blue bloods sweep in and with their brand power, they're just guaranteeing you're going to make a ton of money, come here?
Yeah, it probably doesn't hurt. Now, pre-name, image, likeness, most often if you looked at the recruiting rankings, you were going to find Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas at or very close to the top. So back to normal is how some would describe it in basketball. But of course, Duke is undergoing the change with Coach K about to go through his retirement tour, and Hubert Davis has taken over at North Carolina.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I think that's a good sign for the health and the future of those programs that you have had transition. You have had marquee names either step down or announce that they are stepping down and they're not missing a beat in recruiting. So good on them for getting Derek Lively.
Former Duke Blue Devil J.J. Redick announcing his retirement.
How about that? Now he can be a full-time podcaster, which I think he's really good at. I think he's a dynamic speaker. I think he does a great job. Yeah. I don't listen to his pod extremely frequently, but I think he does bring some great insight to the table. Also, would have never imagined that he would have made it in the NBA 15 years. Despite being an amazing college player,
yeah.
I never saw that from him, and he was a 15-year veteran in the NBA. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was a good pro. His elite shooting carried over to the NBA, which was a big part of what he did. He did more than that, but he was a good player in the NBA. Back to the NFL, kind of got a kick out of this one. So with the Giants game on Thursday, in the fourth quarter, cameras caught Kenny Galladay, their new wide receiver who was signed with a big contract from Detroit. A little animated. It looked like maybe he was getting on Daniel Jones.
Yes.
When Jones actually had a pretty good game on Thursday. And after the game, they're like, no, nothing there. It's not about Jones and Galladay. So Galladay, speaking to the media, said, it's about Jason Garrett, former Dallas Cowboys head coach and now offensive coordinator with the Giants.
Kitty, holler at me. I feel your frustration. Yeah. Like, you can vent to me anytime because I've got my own ventings. I mean, is he mad that he just stands there and claps and tells him he's doing a good job, even when that's maybe not necessarily the case? Yeah, I totally get that, and I unfortunately think it's going to get more and more frustrating for Giants fans as the season goes on.
I saw somebody point out, well, Galladay got a personal chance to do something that many, many fans have done over the years, yelling at Jason Garrett, but through a television, not on a sideline. Clemson football, they're not off to the best start this season. Their defense, though, has been really good. However, they've lost a key defensive tackle for 7 to 8 weeks, it looks like, with a bicep tear. And then running back Lynn J. Dixon, who was expected to have a much bigger role this year with Travis Etienne moving on to the NFL, he has entered the transfer portal. He was suspended at the start of the season against Georgia after an issue with running backs coach C.J. Spiller. And now you have star freshman Will Shipley, who is taking on a bigger role. So Lynn J. Dixon entering the transfer portal at Clemson. I don't know if it's a big deal for the Tigers, but still, I'm sure they'd rather have him personnel-wise.
I was about to say, and when you look at what's been the worst side of the ball for the Clemson Tigers, it's the offensive side of the ball. So I would imagine that losing any sort of personnel is not ideal, as you're still trying to work the kinks out. You're still trying to get comfortable within that offense and try to get something going. So I would say it's not ideal, but...
It might, though, be, I don't know this, but if there has been friction off the field...
Totally.
It might be better for both parties to move on and you try to move forward without him, because Will Shipley's probably the better player and we'll get a bigger role.
And also, if you can't get on the same page and you can't change your attitude, we've talked about this with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Like, if you can't be on the same page and you're going to have a bad attitude, just don't show up. I think you're right. We'll have to monitor what happens and where he wants to end up transferring. I'm sure he's going to have a lot
Tennessee
of takers.
Commit, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to have some takers, and maybe this will be fruitful for both parties.
Yep. Clemson at NC State, 3:30 on Saturday on ESPN. And then speaking of some friction, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reporting Ben Simmons will not report to training camp next week with the 76ers. He wants to be traded.
I'm absolutely shocked. And I believed Joel Embiid when he told us there was no friction between these two. I can't believe I went out on a limb and believed this guy. Just kidding. I don't know
that this is all about Ben and Joel, but it's definitely, there's some friction between Ben and the Sixers organization.
Yeah. Yeah, there absolutely is. I think there was personal friction there too with those guys. But I think we've talked about it too. Ben needs to hit the reset button. Ben needs to go somewhere where he can get right. He needs an offensive adjustment. He's got to get his confidence built back up. He needs better coaching than what he's going to get with the 76ers.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's about coaching, because I think Doc Rivers is a fine coach. I don't think the system and the pressure that he's dealt with and the way that that offense runs, I don't think it's good for him. So a change of scenery is how I describe it as much as coaching.
What do you remember when people were talking about the Trailblazers over the summer? Would that still be a landing spot for him? How do you see?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know exactly what the market is, because I think people have gone way overboard on dismissing Ben Simmons as a guy that can still be successful in the NBA. But yeah, the Trailblazers, the obvious name you would think of is Damian Lillard. And if I'm Portland, I have no interest in getting rid of him, but there have been some reported issues there as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see. But it's a fascinating move. But Ben Simmons could have been a Rocket last year in a James Harden deal. He, of course, ended up in Brooklyn. So how quickly things can change.
Yeah, and nobody wants to be a Rocket, so there's also the problem there, as people just out on the city of Houston, whether you're in the NBA or the NFL. I don't understand it. I think it's a great town. Enjoy the Tex-Mex every time I go, but, you know.
Yeah, Heather, I'm sure it's very frustrating. It's unbelievable to you that somebody would leave Houston.
For like 20 years now. Yeah.
Just, you know,
you fall into a different groove.
Well, but when you have a chance for Knoxville, we're not talking Knoxville. If Ben Simmons could end up in Knoxville, I'm sure he'd love it. That is our look around the sports world to begin today. A lot of things happening in sports. The baseball run continues as well. Braves were able to extend their divisional advantage by a game last night, winning with the Orioles, beating the Phillies.
So my 70%, I'm feeling pretty good. Down to 14 games. You got a nice little cushion.
No.
No, all right, 70% of the time. It works every time.
We're not talking about it quite yet, but the AL wildcard race will be fun as well. You have the Red Sox in front of the Blue Jays, who are a half game in front of the Yankees, who were smashing the baseball last night. So fun times here with about 15 games remaining for everybody in the Major League Baseball season. Good times here. Mid-September, football is off and running, and playoff race in baseball, playoff race literally in NASCAR.
Yeah, I think it's just fabulous. There's so much overlap, and there's so many new wrinkles, especially we were talking about it in the office, the Manning cast. Yeah. I mean, they're two for two with the Manning cast. Another great broadcast last night. They're on the schedule for next week's Monday night matchup between Philly and Dallas, so I'm going to be all in on that. And then they have not filled out the rest of the season schedule yet, so seven more opportunities after Monday.
Yep, Peyton tried to predict a call last night by the
so
Lions,
funny.
Missed it, and said, well, shows you what I know, and Eli says, nice call, Romo.
Yeah, nice call, Romo.
Yeah, they're having fun, that's for sure. We'll come back here on Sports 180, Tennessee, Florida week. We'll catch you up when we come back. Joe Rexroad will weigh in 15 minutes. What should Tennessee do at the quarterback position? We'll get to all of that right here on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us here on Sports 180.
Getting some, Josh caught up.
Caught up on all the gossip, entertainment gossip. It's quite a world out there.
It's a weird world.
A lot of
that's
things
for
happening.
Sure. Met Gala, Emmys last, this, what, Sunday night?
Sunday, yeah. Ted Lasso cleaning up. Haven't seen this past week's episode. Still waiting on that one.
What is the Roy song? I think it has expletives, so you can't sing it in
not
its entirety.
For, FCC.
Yeah.
Roy dropped a couple of bombs actually in his Emmy speech as well, which he was told not to do ahead of time, so he did.
Oh, okay. Very good. I love somebody that you're going to be like, hey, we just really, this is a family-friendly environment. We're going to need you to do that. And they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And then they're like, so let me blankety-blank tell you about this.
Yep, that's what's going on. Tennessee fans hoping to keep those kinds of words at a minimum Saturday night down at Florida.
That would be good. That would be good. I think Florida's defense might have something to say about that.
Maybe.
So we'll see how it goes. But
sense are you getting here early in Florida week from Tennessee fans? Just the feel of the game, excitement level, however you would describe it.
Nobody is talking about it. Nobody is like making eye contact. They're very much Urban Meyer-ing it. Like when he's asked about the USC job, you just look down and you're like, yeah, maybe we could do something. I don't know.
That's sad.
It is really sad. It's really, really sad. I think the Alabama game scared everybody, where you're thinking, it's like that whole ignorance is bliss thing, we didn't know how good Florida was until the Bama game. I mean, they're the same team, you know, that they were two weeks ago.
It was very close.
But now your perception of them, your perception of them is just so different. Yeah. And you're like, well, Tennessee has struggled in three games against opponents that don't hold a candle to the competition that Florida just got done going toe-to-toe with. So I do think that that prisoner of the moment, oh my gosh, what are we in for, that sort of feeling and mindset has set in.
Let's see. SP Plus ranks Florida number 8 in the country.
Yeah.
Pretty good. SP Plus is higher on Tennessee than a lot of people would be, though.
Top 50?
28th.
Wow.
28th.
I'm going to say, and now again, and we talk about this with Joe Rexroad, that'll be coming up in the next segment, but those numbers could be a little skewed because of caliber opponent. You know, Tennessee's run defense looks like the strength of the defense right now. That wasn't really what Pitt wanted to do. They wanted to put the ball in Kenny Pickett's hands and let him throw it all over the place, and they were able to win that way. And then, you know, Tennessee Tech, Bowling Green, I don't know. So we're going to find out. At least the thing about Saturday's game is you're going to see, does Tennessee have any sort of fatal flaws? What are we really working with at the quarterback spot? Do we have any better idea about the upside of Hendon Hooker or Joe Milton? And then how does that apply to games that at the beginning of the season you thought you had a good chance? I mean, I don't remember anybody really talking about having a great chance versus Florida.
Yeah, there was not much conversation around that.
Yeah, yeah. One, I mean, Tennessee, since Casey Clawson, hasn't even gone into the Swamp and won. Okay, so that was a year before I was a freshman at Tennessee.
Yeah, that was a, 03.
Okay, was it 03? Okay, so that was my sophomore year. Excuse me. I was thinking 01 for some reason, but yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, but still a high school graduate ago.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think you play the game. You go out, if you're a member of the team, not to get away from the team concept, but you're saying, I want to go out and I want to play this way. I want to have this many sacks or this many tackles for loss. I want to catch this many balls, be targeted. I want to run crisp routes as a receiver. You focus on what you can do the best to help your team win. That's your mentality going into this game.
Yeah, you don't have to play perfect football to beat Florida here. You just have to play as close to the best that you can.
Yes.
And either hope they make mistakes or force them into making mistakes or probably both. That's probably a combined conversation.
I think you're right. I think there's a couple of guys on this Tennessee defense that could force Emory Jones into a mistake or something. Can they do it consistently? I don't know. You know, if I was Elijah Simmons or one of those guys that we're talking about, Byron Young, Tyler Barron, I would be really excited about trying to get to him and force him into a mistake, because you could make everybody's paying attention to Florida Gators right now. And if you are disrupting that, you could be on SportsCenter. You know, I mean, people will be talking about you moving forward because this is a statement game.
There's the quarterback position. There's play up front. What does Tennessee need to do? What should fans be thinking ahead of the Florida game on Saturday? We'll ask Joe Rexroad of The Athletic when we come back. We are with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Logan Ward hits a midday sports minute for you right now on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on The Sports Animal.
NFL last night on Monday Night Football, the Packers handled the Lions 35-17. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers threw for 255 yards and 4 touchdowns, while running back Aaron Jones ran for a touchdown, and he also caught 3 touchdowns. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Texans will start rookie Davis Mills on Thursday night against the Panthers. Tyrod Taylor injured his hamstring against the Browns on Sunday. Quarterback Deshaun Watson will remain inactive. Major League Baseball games going on tonight. The Braves travel to take on the Diamondbacks at 9:40. The Cubs will host the Twins at 7:40. At 6:40, the Reds will host the Pirates, and the Yankees host the Rangers at 7:05. In the NBA, according to reports, Ben Simmons will not report to 76ers training camp that takes place next week, and he intends to never play for the franchise again and wants to be traded. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
this conversation as we welcome to the show, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com. You can hear him each morning on the radio in Nashville, 102.5 The Game. Joe, we appreciate the time. Tennessee is getting ready for Florida coming up on Saturday. The Vols are big underdogs on the road. What should Tennessee fans think heading into this game coming up on Saturday?
What are they supposed to think? Well, I think they should be realistic. Florida, although I think the letdown possibility here is real, both emotionally and just in terms of like extra cold tub for the Gators after you play Alabama. I think you also saw that's a pretty good football team Dan Mullen has. And I was stunned. Really, I was stunned both lines of scrimmage. And I know some of it is scheme and having a mobile quarterback, but running the ball and stopping the run for Florida in that game, I did not anticipate either things going Florida's way as much as they did. And look, this is just going to be a really tough assignment. I mean, I'm a little stunned. I guess I saw a line today. It was up to 20.5. That's a big number. But look, this would be a massive upset, and being competitive in this game would be an achievement.
Florida was able to really move the ball on the ground against Alabama, rushing for right around 245 yards. But that's been a strength of Tennessee's defense, their rush defense. Is that something that the Vols can build on and try to get some positive momentum out of?
Yeah, I just don't know, Heather, with considering Bowling Green and Tennessee Tech are two of those three opponents, and really that's not Pittsburgh's strength either. You know, they have decent backs, but, I mean, they are definitely built around Kenny Pickett and those receivers. I just, it's hard for me to have a great feel for what Tennessee's rush defense is. They're going to have to be, I mean, it's a much, much bigger challenge than anything they've faced yet. I think it's certainly a better offensive line than Pittsburgh had. And again, just Emory Jones, who, I mean, it's kind of crazy. The guy's getting booed at home, and then all of a sudden he has just, to me, just an amazing second half of that game. And if he's building on that, that's a problem, because you also have to account for him along with just handling things up front. Your linebackers have got to be really good. You know, is Juwan Mitchell going to be ready to go? And then you've got to be able to get some disruption up front. I mean, a guy like Elijah Simmons in this game, you know, you want to see him causing havoc and making Florida be off schedule a little bit. And then you also, if you can get him in passing downs, this is where you hope that Tyler Barron and now Byron Young, now that he's in the mix, can give you some playmaking and mess Florida up a little bit off the edge.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com. Joe, unique topic here, Tennessee's quarterback position. What do you say this week, as Hendon Hooker was the guy this past Saturday, Joe Milton coming back from some kind of leg injury? What do you think heading into Florida?
I think if it were me and I felt good about Joe Milton's health and felt good that he could, you know, really be a factor in the run game, then I think I would go back to Joe Milton. And I think it's close, and you could make a case certainly for Hendon Hooker, but I haven't seen quite enough from him to give the job to him over Joe Milton. I mean, basically, I really liked a lot of what Joe Milton did in the Pittsburgh game, other than obviously arm punting instead of connecting on all those deep throws. And look, at some point, like you have to cash in. But I think Hooker's also he had some plays that he left out on the field against Tennessee Tech in what was basically a 7-on-7 scrimmage against air. And I just think Joe Milton, at his best, gives you a better chance to pull something off in a game like this than a Hendon Hooker would. And maybe you also could be worse. You know, maybe there's a bigger range of performance with Hooker or Milton compared to Hooker. But I think I'm going for whoever gives me the best shot and who can make some plays that could flip a game like this, change a game like this.
Joe, where's your optimism level right now for Tennessee making a bowl game? And if we're talking about Tennessee either covering the number or pulling off a shocking upset, what has to go right for the Vols?
Well, obviously, Heather, I mean, that Pittsburgh game is big. But I still think the Vols, I still think you can look at that schedule and find the wins, you know, for the Vols to get it done. You know, I mean, obviously to me, I'm discounting, you know, this game probably. Yeah. I mean, you know, Alabama, you go ahead and just throw that out. Georgia, throw that out. But like even at Kentucky, I mean, look at Kentucky this week against Chattanooga. Like Will Levis, I think it's a great addition for them. They can throw the ball, but we look, Tennessee's history against Kentucky, even when they've had really good teams, Tennessee has had some success against them. So like there's one that I just think this offense, I think it just does a couple of things. One, it helps you avoid, like, I think getting upset by inferior teams. Like, you know, it just, you run that offense with your talent, you're going to overwhelm like a Tennessee Tech or a Bowling Green. But also I do think it gives you a chance when you're an underdog, you know, not a massive underdog like in some of these games ahead, but, you know, like a Kentucky team like that, a Missouri, which I think actually could be a close matchup anyway. You know, the offense could make the difference for you. In some cases, an equalizer, in some cases, make the difference. So I still think Tennessee has a solid shot to get to six.
We're talking to Joe Rexrode from TheAthletic.com. He's on the radio every morning in Nashville, 102.5 The Game. What about the Titans, that road win, that comeback win against the Seahawks in overtime on Sunday?
Yeah, did not see that coming. you know, I was in Seattle, and really it was probably the loudest NFL stadium I've experienced. It was very good, and it's 24-9, and then it's 30-16. And it looks like the Titans are toast. They're giving up, you know, bombs on just total coverage bus and, you know, Russ Wilson and all those things going on. And then, you know, Derrick Henry, to me, I mean, that's what the story was. The story was that Derrick Henry hit a home run to cut the lead in half to 30-23 with about 12 minutes left. And for the rest of the game, he just completely dominated. He was the dominant player in that game. Talking about career high, you know, 41 touches, 35 carries, 6 catches, punishing that team. And the Titans defense, and they give up 6 points in the second half in overtime. The last 4 possessions for Seattle, 1 first down. So there's some progress there too. You know, week 1 in the NFL season can be very dishonest. It can be very deceiving. Titans were awful against Arizona, but I think this is more of what they're going to be, which is a good to very good team.
Is that also the winning formula for the Titans? You have Derrick Henry, just keep giving the ball to him. He's going to wear teams down in the third and fourth quarters.
It is. But I almost wonder if, like, maybe they should just bench him in the first half, and then he'll only have, like, 23 carries, you know, but the defense still might be tired. You know, it's like, I mean, at some point you do, if you're the Titans, you have to look at it and say, man, he can't touch the ball 40 times. Over and over, and then expect him to be fresh all year, even though it looks like he's the one delivering the punishment, not the other way around. Like, still, that has to be a wear and tear factor for as much of a cyborg as he seems to be at times. But certainly, Heather, that is, like, you get to the fourth quarter, it's just incredible the difference when early in games teams are just, they are geared up to stop him. They are packing the box, they are jumping into those gaps in the outside zone stuff, and then all of a sudden, man, the same exact people look like they just want to punch out for the day in the fourth quarter.
Joe, have you suggested the idea of a first half benching of Derrick Henry to Mike Vrabel? Because if you have not, I want to make sure I get video of it when you do.
I have not, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll just do that. We don't have him today, we get him tomorrow, so maybe I'll say, hey, just what have you considered, you know, just making Derrick a second half player, you know, maybe, who knows, you could run him out there on like punt or kickoff return or something to keep him involved a little bit. And then you bring him out in the second half. This could be like a revolutionary football scheming moment for the Titans.
Hey, I'll back you on it. One more thing. We'll get you out of here. I know it is still early. We're just 2 weeks in, but does the rest of the AFC South look like the mess that maybe we thought that it could be? Indianapolis already dealing with injuries again to Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Indianapolis is a potentially good team. I mean, the Colts almost beat the Rams, and I think the Rams are really good. But to your point, Josh, I mean, Carson Wentz now, both ankles are sprained. I mean, the Colts cannot afford to go 0-3. Now, they haven't lost in Nashville to the Titans since 2017 with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. So they are used to coming in here and winning. But if they have Jacob Eason Sunday, I can't imagine how they pull that off. And if they fall to 0-3, then, yeah, I mean, the Titans will have a real strong early edge, and maybe it won't be a huge sweat to win the division.
Yeah, big game this week for the Titans against the Colts. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. TheAthletic.com, anything to tease there at the website before we let you go?
For Vols fans, I do have a story coming up, a very interesting story on a key defensive player this week. So there's a little tease for something coming up.
I like it. Be on the lookout. TheAthletic.com, worth your subscription. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic right here on Sports 180. We will come back. We'll hit the face-off. Five tough questions when we return from Logan Ward with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward, 656-9900. If you would like to hop on board this afternoon, still a ton to cover here on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. I feel like we're already in a groove. We're 3 weeks in, which is actually a quarter of the college football season, Heather.
I know. It's so wild.
I know. 2 weeks in, which is not close to being a quarter of the NFL season because you have 17 games, yep. 18 weeks of the season. So still a long way to go. But I feel like we're in a conversational stride now that we have two different weeks to overreact to one way and then the other. And then the NFL. Plus, it's Florida week, so you're into SEC play
yeah.
for Tennessee.
I think one of the big things, too, is that you figured out some things about different teams, and then you have even more questions. Like, I think today there's even more questions about the Tennessee Titans that we just talked to Joe Rexroad about. Like, you're like, okay, so wait a second. They can lose like they did to Cliff Kingsbury, one of the most disrespected coaches in the NFL, but Kyler Murray, absolutely incredible quarterback. They can look like that in week one, and then they can go to Seattle, get down by 15, and come storming back to win. And then how long can Derrick Henry handle this workload? I mean, there's just so many questions, and it's awesome. Also, one thing we did not talk about yesterday with the Titans, and I know we want to get back to the Vols,
yeah.
but Taylor Lewan, are they better without Taylor Lewan? Has Taylor Lewan become like a distraction? Because he gets scrapped right before the game because of the injury issue, and he gets held out or whatever. And Tennessee was fine. They survived that. I wonder if, you know, they figured something out because he has not been the most reliable of players over the past season and a half.
Well, they're better off without week one Taylor Lewan. So maybe the answer is yes. I don't know how it's going to play out, but through 2 weeks, yeah, week one, Taylor Lewan, I don't know if he cost them the game, but he played a big role in them losing.
Yes. Yeah. And then, like I said, to not skip a beat, to still be able to survive, get a huge win, have obviously great offensive production with Derrick Henry. I mean, yeah. You're running the ball just fine.
And Julio's response to a bad week one was nice to see, I'm sure, for Titans fans.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, good stuff. There's just like so much good stuff to parse. I love it.
Yeah. Also, I if you're a Titans fan, you really have to enjoy watching the Jaguars and the Texans do whatever they do.
And then hear the news. I mean, God bless him. But can Carson Wentz go through anything more
yeah.
this season? Two sprained. He doesn't have one sprained ankle. He's got two sprained ankles. I mean, this guy's being held together by duct tape at this point in time.
Yeah. Now, in that one, Titans fans are probably saying, hey, why don't you let us get through the game before you start making Colts jokes? And I'm not even joking, but I would, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm like, oh no, here we go. Long way to go, though. Tomorrow, we'll have a good Benstro Battle Ready segment. Thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy, we're going to have an expert come on with us and get us up to date on some Tennessee injuries, Colts as well. So that's tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Right now, we hit the face-off. Logan, what do you have for us today?
Josh, Heather, good afternoon. Do the Packers look like they're good to go after last night's win?
I think so. Doesn't mean everything is fixed, but in terms of being the leader in that division and an NFC contender, we'll get a better idea this upcoming Sunday, but I think they have enough fixed to then move forward and get to where they can potentially go over the next, what, 16 weeks.
Fire off the hater alarm. I mean, you know, the Green Bay Packers, yes, they did look really good last night against presumably one of the three worst teams in the NFL.
Lions aren't
Pardon me if I want to see a little bit more against some better competition. I think the Packers are a really good team. Are they a Super Bowl caliber team at this point? I still need more data.
Who's the best team after week two in the NFL?
It is probably the Bucks, but let me go ahead and try and make an argument for my Los Angeles Rams, which I picked to win the Super Bowl.
Your Look Rams. You got the Bucks, you got the Cowboys, you got the Rams. All right, okay, continue.
Just for my betting ticket. Look at what Matthew Stafford has done through the first couple of weeks of the season. Look at what Cooper Kupp is doing. I mean, just absolutely incredible. I think they've got just the stoutest defense. Their defense looks solid. I know they didn't cover the line versus the Colts. So that is bothersome to me. But I want to see more from the Rams, as I just talked all the time away. My bad.
Good team. Win, great teams cover. The Raiders have done both of each through 2 weeks against Hey-o. The Steelers and the Ravens, but my answer is the Bucks.
What's one thing you learned in college football this week?
Maybe I'm proven wrong here, but I think that we've figured this out, that Penn State and Michigan have fixed some of what went on last year in a weird COVID year. Penn State has a win at Wisconsin and then an impressive win against Auburn, I thought, on Saturday night. Doesn't mean they're going to win the Big Ten, but both teams are better, clearly, than they were last year in a weird Big Ten year.
I think it's also one of the big things that stood out to me, and you see this at Clemson, you see it at Alabama and some other places around the country, Ohio State also. New quarterbacks, even if they are five stars, there's still a little bit of a learning curve. Like, you still have to get in there and figure things out on the fly, and you're under an immense amount of pressure, so anything can happen. But I think just remembering that there is a learning curve and not every five star is Trevor Lawrence is something that is very apparent through 3 weeks.
Happy 71st birthday to Bill Murray. What's your favorite Bill Murray character?
So I've told you how for the first part of my life, I thought Ghostbusters was a scary movie.
You did, yes. Yeah. That was one of the more alarming revelations.
That and the Bee Gees being white. I mean, that's the top of the mountain. That's Apex Mountain for me. I did not know the Bee Gees were white, for anybody that has never heard that before. But I think on the rewatch, and now that I have watched Ghostbusters as an adult, him as Peter Venkman is just wonderful. It's kind of a travesty that they tried to remake Ghostbusters, but I think it's his role in Ghostbusters is just the creme de la creme.
Yeah, that's actually my answer, too. So we're aligned there, and Ghostbusters is terrific. I'll go Carl Spackler as a backup option from Caddyshack. How can you go wrong?
All right, guys, last one. Where's your confidence level in the Vols making a bowl game right now?
Heather, you want to lead this one off?
My confidence level is, okay, it has taken a hit from my preseason record prediction of 7-5.
Okay.
I do still want to see how injuries play out. There's still a path to a bowl game. So I'm going to say I'm 65%. 65% Tennessee will make a bowl game.
Okay, I'm a little lower than that. I'm in the 50-50, 55-45. If you're looking for me to be optimistic, why not? I'm still going lower than where Heather is, Price is Right style. So, yeah, it's to me, it's very much toss-up as the games that will matter most. Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina.
South Carolina now. Yeah.
Will be as well. It's very doable, but it's far from easy.
All right, Josh, let's win today. The Bucks are by far the best team. And Heather, you mentioned the Bucks, but you had to try to make a case for...
Well, I knew that's who Josh was going to say, so I was just trying to be different. You know, we're trying to bring different opinions to the table.
Did I say anything wrong about the Raiders, by the way?
You did not, because guess what? I have bet on the Raiders now 2 weeks in a row, and I have had more money in my account after betting on them. So, yeah, I'm just shocked. Shocked by the Raiders.
There's somebody out there that has had enough conviction in the Raiders to say, you know what, give me the money line each of the last 2 weeks with him being a dog both times. And that person's walking around pretty happy.
Let me ask you this, because you saw it up close and personal. Problems with Ben Roethlisberger?
He's not the quickest at his position in the league, I would argue.
He's like the Tin Man. Can somebody oil up those joints? Can we get the oil can going? I'm sorry. No bueno.
Yeah,
And they can't run the ball.
Physically, he is not at the same spot as someone like Tom Brady, would you say?
Yeah, and he's like a couple years younger than Brady too, right?
Several, yeah. I mean, Tom's 44. Ben's not 40 yet, right?
No, I think he's more like close. I think he's pretty close to my age, which is getting older.
Let's see. He is, he's 39, yeah.
Okay, he'll be a year older.
He will turn 40 in the spring after the season.
Okay.
Brady will turn 45 during the offseason.
You know, one of my biggest things, you talk about missed opportunities. We talked about it with Ben Simmons. Like, why now to get traded? Like, why weren't you working on this a couple of months ago? I felt like they needed to have a plan in place for life after Ben. And they've just, like, neglected to plan for that for the last couple of years. They tried with Mason Rudolph, but, I mean, you should be way moved on from that guy. That guy is not the future.
Yeah, well, something I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily bet on it working out, but he was a top 10 pick for a reason. They have Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. And if a franchise that is well-established, if they can get him in the right direction, maybe Dwayne Haskins is the answer. I don't know that he's not, but in terms of trying to win a Super Bowl, I'm not sure that Big Ben is. That is our face-off. I'll take the win today. It is presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic.
You can take the win by setting up your one-on-one consultation with Marble City Chiropractic because you're ready to get rid of those aches and pains so you can start living a fuller, healthier, more active lifestyle. Call them, 766-2081. Set up that one-on-one consultation and start living the life you were designed to live thanks to Marble City Chiropractic.
We have 2 hours of Sports 180 to go. 656-9900 if you would like to join us. Back to 10. Tennessee getting ready for Florida this weekend when we come back on 99.1, the Sports Animal.